from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in Tacoma Park, Maryland, which became the first American city to lower the voting age from 18. It happened, according to CNN, thanks to the advocacy efforts of high school students who convinced the city council that they should have a voice in local governance. Following Tacoma Park, two other cities in Maryland also lowered the voting age to 16. That, of course, is on local elections, and it seems to some of us as kind of a revolutionary step. But is it? Some other countries have done this, and following last week's mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, the debate over a voting age is back in the headlines. That's because a group of Parkland students has stepped forward not just to call for gun legislation, but to organize the National Day of Protest and to attempt to create a permanent presence in the American gun law conversation. And that has convinced some to say if these students can be this engaged at the age of 16, 17, why can't they also vote? Over this past weekend, we were deluged with responses on this issue. So let me start the hour by saying this. I'm one of those people who was sort of asked a question. I have no idea what my own view is on this matter. I've heard some very compelling arguments on both sides. And I would just like to listen this hour and invite you, no matter what you think, to at least listen to those who disagree, because there's some really interesting ideas here. Let me go ahead and welcome our guests who are with us in studio. Dylan Holcomb is a senior student activist and mindfulness facilitator at Brighton High School. Dylan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Sam Topa is a freshman at McQuaid Jesuit High School. Sam, welcome.
Thank you.
Also here is Zosan Soong, who is a senior patent counsel at Xerox Corporation and a parent. Zosan, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Mary Lupien, who is an RCSD teacher. Mary, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Tim Nealon is on the line with us, professor and chair of the Department of History and Political Science at Nazareth College. Tim, welcome to you as well.
Thanks, Evan.
And parent of your own tribe as well, right, Tim?
That's right.
Okay. So we've got people on all sides of this, and I wanna just kind of go around the table and start by asking, before we even get into the backgrounds, where people stand. So, Dylan, you're a senior student activist, a mindfulness facilitator at Brighton High School, very much involved. And are you 18 yet?
I'm 18.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm
registered.
You're registered.
I'm registered.
You're ready to vote. But would you lower the voting age?
I would. I would lower it to 16.
Okay.
Without question.
And why would you do that?
For a variety of reasons. I think that students, particularly high school students, could benefit immensely from having civic duty and civic responsibilities introduced in high school. I think especially at the local level, if not even the national level, training kids to participate, to increase political efficacy, to turn out numbers, increase our electorate, and also because scientifically cold hard reasoning in your brain, the section of your brain that deals with cold hard reasoning and deliberating on actions and making decisions is finalized at 16. So
yeah, they call it cold cognition. Yeah.
Yes.
But I think what you say, the engagement, getting more people involved, it sounds to me like what you're saying is if you catch them at 16, that's one thing. At 18, some people are going off to college, some people are entering the workforce, you may have to vote absentee, and all of a sudden, if you don't vote that first time at 18, you're not as likely to vote in future elections.
Yeah.
So start at 16?
Yes. And the absentee ballot, I mean, I registered this year, and I'll most likely be going to university in California, and so I'll be part of that system as well. I mean, to many who aren't already interested in government and democracy, there's no appeal.
Okay, now Sam is a freshman at McQuaid. How old, Sam?
I'm 15.
15. Now, would you like to be able to vote when you turn 16?
You know, I would like to, but I think that overall it's probably not the best idea.
It's interesting. Why do you say that?
I think, you know, whether this is right or not, the universally recognized age of adulthood would be 18, and I guess that's up for debate whether that's, you know, the right age, but you can't serve in the military until you're 18. You can't participate in land transactions unless it's very limited in certain cases. So I just believe that unless you can fulfill all your, you know, civic duties and you have, you know, you're an adult, that doesn't make sense to be able to vote
at the age of 16. So keep it at 18.
Yes.
Okay, Mary Lupien, where do you stand on this?
Absolutely for lowering the age to 16. It's kind of crazy that we are allowing 16-year-olds to work, to pay taxes, to contribute to our economy, and not be able to vote, to have a say of what happens with that money.
Simple as that. Interesting. Okay. Are there other reasons for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at Dylan. I mean, look at the countless numbers of teens in this community who have stepped up. I have seen teenagers that I feel like have a wisdom that I haven't necessarily seen in a young person before. We have incredible youth, and why not give them the opportunity to participate in our democracy? And, you know, it's not necessarily a question of age, but a question of what kind of civic opportunities have they been allowed to participate in. We don't have civic education in high school. Why not? We should. And lowering the voting age would, I feel like, give an opportunity to open that conversation to educating in our schools about how to be a good citizen, what happens at different levels of government, because that's not, you know, what we see. And when I was on the Bernie campaign, we were looking for ways to engage people in the community, and we thought, well, let's have civic education for kids. And someone said, can we have that for adults too? Because we just don't have that kind of education in our community, and we absolutely should.
To that point, Mary, Elizabeth on Twitter writes to us and say, I've heard people say they don't think kids should vote because they'll just vote how their parents do. That's not a valid critique because, to be honest, most 30-year-olds vote how they learn from their parents. That's not to say there aren't good reasons mm-hmm. for 16-year-olds not to vote, but that is not one of them. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree. You know, we have who we have in office not voted in by 16-year-olds, but by quote-unquote adults.
But we shouldn't be just basing voting age based on who you want in office and who's likely to vote at what age, right?
No, I know. And I feel like that's a reason that people may not come out and say they don't want youngsters to vote. But the younger you are, the more likely you are to be a liberal voter and to vote on people-based issues and not necessarily, you know, for more conservative issues. And so I think that's part of the reason why many people don't want to lower the voting age.
Okay. Zosan, how do you feel about this?
I'm against lowering the voting age to 18 because...
To 16.
I'm sorry, to 16. Mm-hmm. I agree that there may be younger people that could vote responsibly and are informed on the issues. But if we're going to have a general rule, though, I think 18, we should stick to the status quo of 18. I feel that to be a responsible citizen and eligible to vote, that person should have sufficient life experiences to make an informed decision. Because the people that we elect, they're able to basically tell us how we should live our lives, and they can shape, and our elected officials, and including judges, can actually, they shape the society that we live in.
What's the difference in life experience for an 18-year-old versus a 16-year-old?
Well, there may or may not be a huge difference depending on the individual, though.
No, but speaking more broadly.
No.
Because you're saying 16, you haven't had the life experiences required, in your mind,
yes,
to participate in the voting process. That's a fair point. I just want to understand how you see 16 and 18 as different in terms of life experience.
Well, there's two more. I mean, 16 and 18, I mean, that's kind of a critical age because that's the age when kids may start learning how to drive and they may do some additional family vacations that where they could go international places, and they're also almost at the point where they can be ready to be on their own,
working
mm-hmm. and going to the college at 18. So and traditionally many people did not go on to college traditionally, and so 18 was sort of the logical time where they would be an adult that have a lot more responsibility at 18 after they finish high school. And so that seemed a very reasonable, logical place to have the dividing point.
Let me turn to Tim Nealon. And before I turn to Tim, I want to listen to a clip. One of the reasons we're here is the response of the student survivors in at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. And you've probably seen them in various places in the last few days organizing events, a national day of protest, and a student walkout calling for different gun laws. This is from CNN, Emma Gonzalez, a senior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. This past Saturday, this was at a gun control rally. Let's listen.
The people in the government who are voted into power are lying to us. And us kids seem to be the only ones who notice and are prepared to call BS. They say that no laws could have been able to prevent the hundreds of senseless tragedies that have occurred. we call BS. That us kids don't know what we're talking about, that we're too young to understand how the government works. We call BS. If you agree, register to vote, contact your local congresspeople, and give them a piece of your mind.
Tim Nealon from Emma Gonzalez. You can hear the pain and the emotion when she says they say that we kids don't know what we're talking about and we call BS. She's not saying give us the right to vote, but a lot of people saw that and said, why can't she vote? Do you agree or do you take any position on this, Tim?
I'm fairly neutral on this. I see the pluses and minuses. I certainly, however, think it's a great idea to experiment, and I'm very pleased to see places like Tacoma Park and Hyattsville, Berkeley, and some others have lowered the voting age to see what happens in municipal elections. I think that's a great place to start, and then maybe start, you know, with some statewide races as well. It would be very interesting to see. Clearly, what she's doing is what we call interest group politics. She is, in fact, involved in the political system, whether she can vote or not. She may well change policy and legislation simply through the actions that she's going to take in organizing grassroots movements, protests, putting pressure on elected officials, and drawing attention to this issue. And so certainly we have seen that with high school students from the Vietnam War era on.
What do your students tell you, Tim? Have you polled your own students on this?
It's funny. We just talked about this a week ago, before I even knew this show was going to happen. And by 2-1, my students in my government class said, no, we don't think 16-year-olds should vote, even though some of them are just barely 18 themselves now. Some of them are older. I've got some mixed students in there. But they just didn't feel that at 16 they were competent enough to make key decisions about the future. And then some of them gave me the typical arguments. Well, you can't gamble. The state says you're not competent to gamble until you're 21, or you can't rent a car until you're like 25 on your own. So, I mean, there's reasons why we have created a sort of protected class. And some people fear that the K-12 teachers might try to influence young people to vote a certain way. But again, it's in terms of the fact that young people are a part of America and they don't have the right to vote doesn't mean they can't participate in politics. But also, what are we afraid of? We should experiment. I mean, we could pass local ordinances here in Rochester. I think this would be a great place to start. We're a progressive city. Let's see what happens if you lower the voting age.
And he's talking about at the local level, just as Tacoma Park has done and a few other places. So before I get to your phone calls, Barbara, Ray, we're going to come to you. Listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you want to see the voting age change to 16? 844-295-TALK. It's toll free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. I want to turn back to Dylan Holcomb, who's a senior student activist at Brighton High School. And Professor Nealon is making, I think, an important point here. When you look at the students at Parkland, there's no doubt that even if they can't vote, they are involved in a process. They're involved in a political process. They're putting pressure, they're moving the discussion, even if they can't vote. And does that say to you, look, I may not be able to vote, but there's a lot I can do, and I don't have to vote to have my voice heard?
It's an interesting question. I mean, students definitely have organized in a way that we've never seen before, I'd say post the 2016 election. And to have our voices heard in a community, At the moment, I'm working with students at School of the Arts and at Brighton to organize a March for Our Lives on the 24th, along with some walkouts. And in finagling all the details and getting permits and getting all the proper measures to conduct this event in a orderly and efficient manner, it takes a lot of effort. And I see if students are participating to this nth degree of contacting their officials. I mean, you saw all these posts on social media, call your senators, here's an app, here's a text. Why not be able to vote?
Okay. Yeah. And I imagine, Sam, as a freshman at McQuaid, you hear Professor Nealon saying you can get involved. And do you think in your own mind, if I want to be involved, I can be involved without voting? Or do you need to vote to be able to feel involved, Sam?
I believe that, even without voting, you can be involved. You're really passionate about it. Granted, voting is probably easier than, you know, organizing and calling your senators. It's probably a little more simple. But if you're really passionate about something, you can really help foster your, you know, kind of love for activism before you're 18. And, you know, as soon as you're 18, you can vote.
Okay. And Mayor, what do you think about the idea of saying, okay, let's start this at 16 on the local level only. Let's not pass national laws, but let's let municipalities decide, okay, this will be sort of the first step toward voting, or voting on local levels first.
I think it's incredible. I think we have a really great opportunity here. You know, we're dying to get people out to the polls the way it is. You know, getting more people to be involved is only a benefit, and getting them to understand what happens at the local level is, you know, a really great primer for being an adult. And to the professor's point, you know, you can influence politics by organizing. Absolutely. But does it make the politicians accountable to young people? I don't know the answer to that. You know, if you're organizing, the only reason they're listening is because you're getting adults to join the movement. If it was just an organizing of young people and there weren't buy-in from voters, I don't know if it would really change things.
Okay. Zosan, do you see any compromise position that says 18 to vote in national elections but 16 locally?
I would like to keep an open mind on this issue because I'm aware that Austria and Scotland actually allow 16-year-olds to vote nationally, including the Brexit vote for Scotland, I believe. And so I guess I'm willing to on a trial basis, let younger people, the 16-year-olds, vote locally. See how that fares.
And I don't know if anybody in Rochester is organizing in that direction, or even in any local towns, but we'll see. Interesting. I want to take some of your phone calls because a number of our listeners want to jump into this. Barbara first. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi there. Wonderful discussion. Number one, it's a wider issue than just 16-year-olds getting the vote because, as your panelists have correctly pointed out, there's different age levels for all different sorts of rights. I think it's a wonderful idea because, two, both Miss Anthony and Mr. Douglas are, as we speak, that little whirring sound you hear is them turning in their graves because the adults aren't voting. So it's almost laughable to hear adults saying, oh, we shouldn't give the right to vote to 16-year-olds, when the majority of adults in this country don't, to use our public officials' terms, get off their you-know-whats to vote. And I would think that the first step would be to give them civics classes. We owe them that. It's not that, oh, they should have more knowledge. It's that we owe the youth of this country civics information so that they can be educated voters. And they, of course, we know from the Vietnam era and beyond, we're all very passionate when we're young, and that's what voting needs these days. Mm-hmm. And I certainly encourage every young person to get involved, and good luck, and I'll be behind you.
Barbara, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that. I want to turn to Sam Topa, who's a freshman at McQuaid, 15 years old, who, you know, Sam's not here because Sam is saying, I don't know anything about anything. He's obviously a very intelligent and articulate 15-year-old, but you're thoughtful about what it would mean to have the right to vote at the age of 16. And Barbara is raising the idea that we can teach civics better. Do you feel that you've been served well when it comes to your civics education?
I think it's a great idea to have better civics because certainly I really haven't learned much about politics and current events from my school. We do have a current events classes, but that's, I think it's exclusively for seniors. I'm not 100% sure on that. But I think it's a great idea to get more civics classes, more, you know, politics, so we can, because there's a lot of misinformation going around, especially among young people, because, you know, their main sources of political knowledge can be social media and other platforms that can be easy to manipulate.
Okay.
So I think it's great to have a reliable, you know, source of information in civics classes.
Professor Nealon, when they show up for class with you, how have they done on civics so far?
Well, let's just say it's patchy. We do have, you know, we used to have somebody called PIG, what participation in government is seniors, the government class. But particularly the emphasis is on national government. And so the knowledge of local, even state issues is slim, shall we say, to be kind. And so actually a lot of what we do is to try to remind students that, you know, a lot of the action that happens, a lot of the changes in society begin at the local level, spread to a state and then become national. And just a caveat on what we're talking here, the Supreme Court did rule back in Oregon versus Mitchell in 1970 that Congress cannot change the voting age for state and local elections, so which is why we needed the 26th Amendment. So if we're talking changing it nationally, you'd probably have to amend the Constitution again.
Okay. Zosan Patrick on Twitter says, what about the point that an 18-year-old can be drafted into the military but cannot vote against a candidate that would implement such a draft? And again, the draft would be a whole separate conversation, but 18-year-old serving in the military and the 16-year-old would give a citizen the sacred option to vote out warmongers and at least be thinking about what might be coming for them in their teenage years. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's a very troubling issue about that you raised. And I think that, again, though, is right now we have a volunteer military. But I think we should revisit this issue about voting age if we have a mandatory draft, because that is a very troubling issue for me as well.
Okay, but right now, no draft, and volunteer military sort of takes that off the table for you.
At this point, yes.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I want to get back to our phone calls, and Bill in Rochester next. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to say quickly, I'm over 70 years old. I am very much for 16-year-olds being able to vote. I have no problem with that. Kids today are a lot smarter than when I was 16. And after listening to those kids from Florida, they clearly are on top of things.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bill. And so on that subject, another caller said they think that to vote, students at 16 should have to pass a civics test, or if they fail that, they have to graduate from high school. So I want to ask Dylan and Mary on that. Dylan, what do you think about saying, okay, you're 16, you can vote if you pass a certain test first?
I'm all against any sort of restrictions for voting. It reminds me exactly of the civil rights era and literacy, literacy tests, poll taxes. We eliminated that constitutionally, so I don't see why that should be implemented.
And you got Sam agreeing with you there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree strongly with that, because I feel like that would make it very easy for politicians to game the system with malicious intentions.
Okay, Mary Lupien.
And I would say if you're going to make 16-year-olds pass a civics test, you should make a grown-up who's over 18 pass a civics test.
Okay, Zosan?
I agree with everyone. There should be no tests required.
Okay. Tim Nealon, is there any support in your mind that's valid for passing a civics test?
No, I can't even imagine it would get through the courts. I think they'd toss any kind of legislation like that right out.
Okay. Very good. Ray, next in Rochester. Go ahead, Ray.
Hi. In regard to sufficient life experiences, I think experiential-based learning is a key here. I've met plenty of folks right here in Rochester in their 20s, 30s, 50s with extreme lack of knowledge on just how our election systems work, how they're decentralized, they're state-based, they're actually done on the county level, not the state level even, the federal level. You know, folks don't even know about the public funding of elections potential, the $3 on your income tax, what it could go to take away corporate influence from our elections and publicly fund them. They don't know how to even register to vote. I met a guy, college-educated people, who thought that his voting registration expired because he didn't vote in a few years. So I think being able to vote in high school when you're 16, when you're paying taxes from your job, from when you're getting your driver's license, when you're entering into your adulthood, should be a platform for our democracy to be moving into future generations. High school is a critical time for developing your life's social habits and what you do in society and in Tacoma Park, Maryland, and other cities in the U.S. that have other towns in the U.S. that have lowered the voting age to 16. They have seen a residual civic participation effect. There's studies. If you go to fairvote.org, they're a big voting rights advocacy group pushing for this. There's huge reports, the experiments in political socialization for kids voting in the U.S. You can find how other countries, like the panel has been mentioning, have done this as well. Austria, Argentina, the UK, Denmark, you know, all the likely more social-based economies. Germany, of course, you know, does this. And I think it would completely revolutionize the way our elections are done. People are not going into their adulthood realizing the effects of not having early voting in New York State, not having the flexibility to change your political party affiliation, electronic poll books, automatic voter registration, the fact that parolee voting rights is so disparate amongst all the states. You know, New York ranks 41st in voter turnout. We had about a less than 28% eligible voting population participate in the 2016 presidential primaries, these huge elections where people are just not voting. And like Dylan and Mary are saying, you know, it's very, very similar to the civil rights disenfranchisement. These same questions are very, very similar there. So,
right. So
this is something to jumpstart democracy. And if it's, you know, going to happen anywhere, it's in high school.
All right, Ray, thank you for the phone call. I want to turn that because I've heard a number of people make the point that sort of baked into what Ray is saying there is the idea that we've got low participation, that is a problem in this state, and for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, he sees things intersecting there. But let's just start with 16. So, Zosan, do you agree that 18 years old is sort of a murky time to get a voting right because you may be going off to school, you may be starting in the workforce, you may be changing home addresses, you may have to figure out how to vote absentee instead of being a little bit more stable, and that research showing that if you don't vote at 18, you're probably not going to vote at 19, 20, 21, 22. So is it a good idea then to say, okay, 16, not only are we giving you that right, but we are ensuring a better chance of a participatory democracy going forward? Is there anything that sways you there?
You raise some valid points about the practicalities of having 18 versus 16, but I just have in my foremost in my mind that in close elections, though, where you allow 16 and 17 year olds to vote, they could actually swing an election.
Well, sure.
And so that bothers me that there could be a potential where an election could be swung and it would be driven by 16, 17-year-olds. And is that something that my fellow citizens would be comfortable with, seeing something like that?
Are you uncomfortable with an 18-year-old swinging an election right now?
Well, again, I mean, so historically, 18-year-olds have been allowed to vote. And
it just doesn't sound like, and again, I'm just sort of probing to understand, that you have an equal amount of trust in a 16-year-old to make an adult decision like voting as you do in other people. It just doesn't sound like you have that trust right now. Is that fair?
Well, there are people can always refer to younger people that they know and that are very informed and responsible. And it's just that in sort of as an abstract discussion, you know, having large numbers of 16-year-olds voting and deciding in national elections, I don't know if a significant number of people will be comfortable with that.
I sort of can't believe how many comments I've gotten from people saying, you're focusing on the wrong end of this. We should have a cap of a voting age. Mm. I said, cap? But But here's another one. Mike says, if electing a president affects the future of our country, doesn't it follow that those who have the most life left to live should get a say? A 95-year-old will usually have their immediate future and benefits in mind and not necessarily what is best for the country long term. A 16-year-old would hopefully make decisions based on long term, which would be better for our country. That's from Mike. Mike, you just opened up a big old Pandora's box there that I'm not at all endorsing what Mike is saying, but I will tell you that I've heard from numerous people they feel that way. I don't think anybody is serious about capping a voting age. And at the very least, Tim Neal, number one, I think that's a political non-starter. But I also think, Tim, I hope that the older we get, the more we feel the wisdom of wanting to vote in a way that isn't just about us. I would hope.
Right. I've just celebrated the birthday of a 94-year-old cousin, and I'll tell you that person is both engaged but always thinking about the next generation.
Yeah.
There's no reason to say that because you're 95, all you do is think about yourself. That's a bit of ageism, I think. And so, no, that's not a non-starter. And again, I think what we're talking about here is if you want to increase voting turnout, you have to engage people who and give them a desire to vote. And 16-year-olds seem to have that desire now. That certainly could have a trickle-up effect. Some people believe that helped get some of the older adults to come out because their kids were voting. So it would certainly be worth an experiment to try this. But certainly, let's not start taking voting away from a group just because you don't like the way the elections turn out.
Well, I think that's... I'm going back to another... I just got another one. Ask your panel if it bothers that elections are swayed by voters over the age of 80 years old. They're responding to Zosan, who says they'd be bothered. I don't know why we're setting these... One of our listeners said 95, one said 80. Again, listeners, I'm not endorsing this, but I'm hearing from people. So I'll ask the question, Zosan. Let's say 95-year-olds swayed the election. Does that bother you?
Yes, it does. I think, these are the people that are going out to vote, and so they're playing by the rules of the game.
Okay.
And they're doing nothing wrong. I mean, but so it's up to the people below 90 or 95 to get out and vote to let their votes count.
It is not in the spirit of what I said last hour about being open to all views, but I'm having a real hard time taking votes away at any age here, the older we get. But I'm listening, listeners. If you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK. We're talking about changing the voting age. Before I get to break, let me ask Mary Lupien, a Rochester City School District teacher who favors changing the voting age from 18 to 16, if it bothers you to think of 16-year-olds potentially swinging an election. And in any direction, by the way.
No, I don't. You know, like I said, these are young people who are capable of critical thinking, and, you know, ask teachers of students this age. They are, you know, and critical thinking is something that we're trying to instill in them. And, you know, my fifth and sixth grade students show remarkable understanding of, you know, being able to make leaps, reading an article about something in current events to, you know, maybe thinking about the motivations of the people that are doing this or that. And even my six-year-old has shown me remarkable understanding. I think we really don't give kids enough credit. So absolutely not. I think, you know...
But your six-year-old shouldn't be voting, right?
Yes.
You do agree with that?
Yes, but I'm just saying, younger kids in general, I don't think that we give them... We take them for granted, and I think that if we could get enough 16-year-olds to swing an election, I think that would be a win.
All right, Zosan wants to respond. Go ahead.
I think we should... view the right to vote as like a big pot of money. I mean, do people feel comfortable giving 16-year-olds a big pot of money to decide whatever they want to do?
Depends on the 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, on you
like
know,
if it's Dylan, probably yes.
Yes.
if it's Sam, probably yes.
Well, as a general discussion, though, abstract discussion, I think many adults would feel very uncomfortable
sure.
Giving a large sums of money to 16-year-olds.
Generally speaking. Yeah.
Generally speaking.
Okay, yeah, that's a general statement. So both of our students want to respond. Go ahead, Dylan.
I'd just like to say that since the majority of politics is run by people over 40, 50, even 60, we're impacted by the policies. I mean, we're impacted by the transgender bathroom debate. Our transgender students in our communities feel unsafe going in their selected bathrooms. We're affected by not renewing the ban on assault rifles. Mm-hmm. We're affected by, I mean, these students have been 17 killed. We are affected by, when I was 14, 2014, DOMA was reversed and gay marriage was legalized. And that was a huge step for all gay students and all LGBTQ students. So, I mean, I think if we're affected by the policy to the extent that we are today, especially in regards to someone else choosing the policy for us, there's no reason why we shouldn't have a say in what goes on.
Let me follow up with one point here, Dylan. In the raise the age debate about the age of adulthood, New York State was one of two states with North Carolina to treat 16 as the age of adulthood for felony crimes as opposed mm-hmm. to 18. Did you favor New York getting in line with the rest of the country going from 16 to 18?
In terms of?
Raising the age of adult responsibility for crimes, violent crimes, et cetera.
I'm for raising the age.
Because here's Tom on Twitter saying, allowing voting at the age of 16 conflicts with how New York State treats kids that age that commit a crime. So if you can vote at 16, should you be treated as an adult for committing violent crimes at 16?
I mean, that's a whole other debate. I mean, I would say that I'm for raising the age regardless. I think that students are put into a lot of uncomfortable, young people are put into a lot of uncomfortable situations that can result in catastrophe. And I'm not sure that it directly correlates to voting age. I think that there's a lot of responsibilities that students, particularly 16-year-olds, have to face. I mean, I've been paying taxes since I was 15, and I'm all for 16-year-olds being able to vote.
All right, Sam.
So back to Zosam's point earlier on not feeling comfortable about 16-year-olds, you know, swaying an election. As I said earlier, I'm not in favor of lowering the age, but that's just – that reason doesn't hold much water for me because you can look at any age group, and there will always be ignorant people who, you know, the system has failed and just don't have a grasp of the – political system.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, while there may be people at age 16 and 17 that are like that, there's also people at age 40 and 50. And, you know, just every age group has, I guess, bad eggs.
All right. So in our remaining time, I'm about to blitz through your phone calls, but I got to hit Mary Lupien with 2 points real quickly here. And that's this. On the raise the age, did you support raising the age of adult responsibility of crimes to 18?
I did. And
is that inconsistent with asking 16-year-olds to have the right to vote?
It definitely gave me pause to think about it. But, you know, the 16-year-olds who are going to come out to vote are the ones who are going to be more engaged. And the 16-year-olds who are committing crimes, you know, I don't think that's the same population that's going to come out to vote. And you know what? If they had the opportunity to vote and feel connected to their future, maybe they wouldn't be committing these violent crimes in the first place.
And on the max age, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, but I'm going to ask you about this, Mary. You support a max age for voting?
I don't.
Okay. Tom writes and says, I'm really not trolling here. I think there are serious issues with how our democracy is right now because of how easily older people fall for scams. After all, older people elected Trump. That's from Tom, listener. So
Yeah. Is
there any weight to that argument to you?
I mean, it's certainly an issue, but it doesn't mean that we should take away their right to vote. I think it's we have a serious issue with what I'm going to call psychological warfare in the way that our politics are being carried out, and especially, you know, it affects all of us. And so to focus on one group over the other, whether it's 16 or 95, I think is unfair.
I need to get back to your calls because we are swamped with calls, which is great. Angela in Rochester next. Go ahead, Angela.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I think that it's really important to note that while voting is important, I find that it's actually the organizing to pressure current political figures that seems to be the most efficient way to get laws passed. And I'm wondering if rather than discussing a voting age, we spoke about empowering youth organizing and the potential that students can have to make large changes now rather than in a few years.
All right, Angela, thank you for that. Tim Nealon, you want to respond?
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. This is a great discussion, but I think you could have an entire program on how to – you want to get students involved and give them civic education, get them involved. I mean, literally just get them on an issue and involved in the system. And you learn by doing. You learn very quickly why local laws are important and why legislation needs to be passed, not just nationally, but also locally. And so I'm all for that. But I do think they're slightly different issues. We're talking about citizenship rights here. We're talking about recognizing 16-year-olds as viable citizens. Voting has always been connected to that. And I think this is a great discussion to have, somewhat distinctive. And my hope would be that not only would you be a voter, but you'd also then be an activist, right? So those are not mutually exclusive categories.
All right.
I just want to say both and, not either or.
Okay. In Caledonia, this is Dominique next. Go ahead, Dominique.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello. Okay. Well, my thinking is that our students today are very connected to the internet, which is a new phenomenon, really. They know more about what's going on in the world than most of us ever knew in the past. I'm 67 years old. And I think that they're very passionate about what's happening to them. When I think about students that I talk to who are 16 years old and they talk about gay rights, they talk about gay marriage, they talk about climate change, how climate change will affect them in the future. They talk about all sorts of things that we really didn't think about much at all. And I think that they absolutely are armed and ready to be activists and to be voters. And I fully support voting at 16.
All right, Dominique, thanks very much for that. So let me ask the students, anything you hear there that you agree, disagree with there? Dylan, what do you think?
I mean, I agree entirely with the purpose of lowering the voting age to 16 because of students being affected by policy. I think there's a huge disenfranchisement when all youths show up to rallies and yet we have to say, we didn't vote, we couldn't control. If you vote and something goes in the opposite way, there's a feeling of it happened. But to not even be included in that dialogue, to not even be included in that discussion, it's a troubling and empty experience.
That's disenfranchisement in your view there?
To youth voters, yes.
Okay.
To youth,
now,
particularly.
To Dominique's point about, you know, what a 16-year-old is able to do to inform themselves, what if I were to then point to research that shows that at 15, 16, 17, our students are still doing a pretty poor job of discerning fake news from real news? And I don't mean news we don't like. Mm. I mean actual fake news. Does that matter?
To me, it's a tricky subject. I mean, there's 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds that fall for the same stuff on Facebook. I mean, if not more, because in our library classes, where we are given sources on how to find if something's reputable, how to find if something's biased. I mean, we are looking out for that. And I think that to exclude a whole proportion of people from democracy, the point is it to swing it one way or another. I'm not saying I want to lower the age so that liberals can get in office. I'm saying I want to lower the age so that everybody is included. Swinging the election one way or another, that's fine if everybody is included. That's the entire point of democracy, to my opinion.
All right, let me get back to the phone calls, and Jake in Rochester is next. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, guys. Again, thanks for taking the call. To vibe off what y'all are saying right now and with what Dominique said, I think young voters have been, you know, cut out of the conversation. Politicians don't have to consider their side, so I think giving them the right to vote would force politicians to consider the young vote. You know, run with that. Let me see what you guys say.
Well, thank you, Jake. I mean, as a nearly politician herself, Mary Lupien, and maybe future politician, he's saying that when you expand the franchise, when more mm-hmm. people have the right to vote, the politicians are forced to consider them and how they're impacted more often. And maybe the students in Parkland, Florida would say the same, that if we could vote, you would listen to us more, and that we are pretty collectively right now saying we want XYZ with gun control. Is there an argument there?
Yeah, absolutely. And in general, you know, even within the people that are allowed to vote, politicians focus on the interests and issues of people who do vote, which tend to be, you know, older white people. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, you know, it's the issue of allowing them to vote, but then it's the issue of getting them to vote. And I think, you know, you bring up a really good point about 18 being a really tricky age of getting the right to vote. You know, you're at a crossroads in your life. You're maybe moving out of your city and, you know, absentee voting. And, you know, that's a pretty good reason why I think a lot of college students don't vote. But, you know, in addition to giving 16-year-olds the right to vote, increasing the ability for college students to be able to vote is critical too. And because they don't vote, they don't get their issues dealt with. But it also doesn't necessarily mean that makes them more politically engaged.
Tim in Pittsburgh writes and says, I hope elections are swayed by 95-year-olds. 95-year-olds are far smarter than I am as a 39-year-old by sheer life experience. The fact that we treat our elderly like they are children is obscene. Their wealth of knowledge should be sought after, not pushed away by all of our younger generations. Mm-hmm. That's Tim in Pittsburgh. Tim, I'm going to agree with you. as the host. I'm with you there. And any of our older listeners, I'm with Tim on that one. But I have been surprised at how many people are talking about capping. Now, this is for Zosan. Jessica writes and says, it used to bother people that women or black people could swing an election. So who it bothers you swinging an election is not a strong enough argument. What do you say to that, Zosan?
My comment was that for 16 and 17-year-olds, I believe they really don't, I guess in the abstract, they don't have the life experiences to make informed decisions. And I'm just concerned that there could be some possible issue that the 16, 17-year-old sees upon that the other older voters may strongly disagree with. Some of them we may strongly disagree with, and so the resulting election results may be affected by 16, 17-year-olds, and so that again there, I am keeping an open mind on this issue Mm-hmm. So we could do it as a test case in for locally.
Well, let me ask our guests who are in favor of this. Here's a couple of comments. Gary says, once you're a parent of a 16-year-old, you'll understand why this is not a good idea to give them the right to vote. Audrey says, as a younger voter, Audrey says, as someone who she's someone who used to be more in favor of this, but if she hears another teenager talk about Kanye 2020, unironically, she feels like there's way too much celebrity culture entrenching of simplistic ideas in politics, and that lowering the voting age would only further entrench this current trend towards celebrityism in politics. So, Dylan, how do you feel about that?
Donald Trump, celebrity apprentice.
Well, I think Audrey is warning against going against any of that celebrityism, and she's hearing from her cohort of teenage friends, you know, maybe Kanye in 2020, maybe whatever.
But what is the reality of those people actually saying that, going out to the polls and voting? It's very slim to none. And even if they do, that's democracy. I mean, you can't just exclude someone because you don't like who they approach. I'm not saying I'm for Kanye 2020 by any stretch of means. But in response to the life experience thing, I find that very troubling in that I was 25. I would have no right to tell Emma Gonzalez in Parkland, Florida, you don't have enough life experience to vote on gun control, after all of her classmates have been traumatized by a shooter in their own community. I think life experience is very subjective, person to person, and we all have our own life experiences that shape our political ideologies. We are our identity, and however that manifests itself, whether it's been in personal experiences, whether it's been with family connections, I'd have to say the rise of minority
but
voters.
Some would say you're cherry picking. There's no doubt that Emma Gonzalez and her classmates have gone through something that I hope my son never goes through, that I hope I never go through, that I hope nobody has to go through, and their experience is going to be far more visceral than almost anybody on that. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, a 25-year-old has more life experience than a 15-year-old, right?
I mean, but what is life experience? I mean,
I'm not arguing in favor or against. Yeah. I'm just saying, as time passes, you get more experience.
Yes. I mean, 110%. But when you're voting, you are voting for specific issues. I mean, I hope that a politically informed voter would be, okay, I'm a supporter of gay rights, I support gun control, and I am pro-life. Those are my positions. You find those positions based on personal experience. I mean, a 14-year-old trans student would want to vote on trans rights, and they have unlimited.
But should a 14-year-old trans student be able to vote?
I mean, right now we're talking about 16, and I think it's hard with talking about external influences in voting to set a minimum on it. I'm more securely comfortable with 16.
Tim Nealon, we're going to get some final comments. I want to start with Tim. Professor Nealon, Gary says, once you have a 16-year-old, you'll know why this is a bad idea. Is that too cynical, or do you understand his point?
Much too cynical. My youngest is 18 and my oldest is 28. And believe me, at 16, they were very well informed. So, no, I think that's a little cynical. Every person matures at a different rate. I know 30-year-olds who aren't mature yet. So, no, I think it's a bit cynical.
Okay, some final thoughts around the table?
So about what Dylan said about the 14-year-old trans student. Another one of my points is that if you change it to 16, that person is no longer an adult. So I feel like it could kind of end up being a slippery slope. Like, why couldn't a 15-year-old vote if a 16-year-old can? Like, what's the difference between the two ages as opposed to 16 and 18, where 18, you're a legal adult? So I feel like if 16-year-olds could vote, then 15-year-olds would argue, why can't we vote? And then that would make 14-year-olds argue. So that's just a point.
Okay. Mary Lupien.
You know, to respond to the celebrity comment, you know, we do. We had adults elect a celebrity, and this is not the first time. And what's the difference between Conway 2020 and Oprah 2020? You know, I don't think 16 makes you more susceptible to the celebrityism. And some of these issues that we're talking about affect all ages of voters, and so we shouldn't keep out 16-year-olds.
Okay. Zosan, final thoughts from you.
Again, I would have to say that 16, 17-year-old, they don't have the life experiences to make an informed decision about who to vote for. And I have to go back to my analogy of big pot. Voting rights can be viewed as equivalent to a pot of money. And would many people feel comfortable with allowing 16, 17-year-olds to do whatever they want with a large sum of money?
I would say, generally speaking, I understand the point, but up until a few years ago, you might have been more comfortable with Goldman Sachs and your money. And I'm not so sure that subprime mortgages worked out as well as we hoped. Tim Nealon, final thoughts from you, 20 seconds here. Do you think we're going to see the voting age change?
We will. We'll continue to see cities and municipalities playing around with this. So why doesn't Rochester get on board?
That will be interesting. Mary, any reason, again, you were nearly on city council, maybe in the future, and I know you're a little more in touch with that. Yeah. Is that a conversation that comes up at all that you're aware of locally?
It hasn't, but I bet it will now.
It is very curious. What's going on in Parkland with the student activism and the energy has at least sparked conversation.
If you want it, call your city council.
That's what changed Tacoma Park, Maryland. We'll see. I want to thank all of our guests for being here and sharing their views. Zosan, Mary Lupien, Sam Topa, Tim Nealon, Dylan Holcomb, thanks to all of you for a wonderful and enlightening conversation. We appreciate that. Thanks, everyone. Our thanks to Tim George behind the glass and Megan Mack, producer extraordinaire. I'm Evan Dawson. We're going to talk to you Wednesday on Member Supported Public Radio.